This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello, Disney nerds. How is everyone doing? Welcome.
Hello, Jimmy.
Welcome once again to the Tuesday night live show. And we have a fantastic, fantastic Tuesday night live show in store for you tonight. Sam, what's happening? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. This is going to be fun.
I'm glad you joined me. This is a big deal. We got a great guest, Ashley Kraft, who's the author of the unofficial Disney Parks Cookbook. So I'm excited to hear a lot about how I want to hear mostly about is the research.
Absolutely. You got to do some tasting here. You need a taste.
Yeah, getting into the tasting and figuring that stuff out. That's what I really, what I really want to hear about. So, we'll get to Ashley in just a minute here. I'm going to roll the intro, so we can share the show out. If you could share the show out, we'd appreciate you doing the same, and we'll see you back here in about 2 minutes.
Be right back. Hey, Jimmy, it's Groundhog Day. Do it again.
Just play that
over and over again.
That is one of the
Groundhog Day.
That is a great. That's a great movie, though. It really is. Thank you guys for sharing. Let's get just a couple of comments before we get started here. Hey, what's up, Stan Solo? Thank you. Oh, yeah, let me do that too because I'd be. So also, I wanted to do this real quick. I wanted to thank our friends over Stan Solo over at the Grand Circle Tour Podcast, Big Fat Panda, For coming on before us. So this is, we decided to collaborate, and this is your Tuesday night lineup. So Grand Circle Tour podcast is on from 7 to 8 on Facebook every Tuesday night. Big Fat Panda on YouTube from 8 to 9. And then we're the Caboose, following it up on 9 to 10.
What did you call us?
The Caboose.
All right, well, sure.
Panda referred to himself as the good stuff in the Oreo because he's in the middle.
Ah, got it. If that's what he wanted. It's Dan Solo, and the Solo Show had a little verses there, an interesting show to watch. And by the way, Stan, this is not Lando's shirt. These are, that's Space Mountain.
I like it.
Awesome.
I almost bought that shirt.
I like it.
I did. So you did buy that shirt. did you see 30% discounts coming back this month for pass holders?
Nice. That's wonderful.
Hello, Mike. What's up, Chris? David Chambers, Indianapolis.
David Indy in the house.
Shirt. Greetings, Bill. Hello. How are you? What's up, Brandon? Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. I've been working on this for 46 years.
The Grays point that out there, dude.
Yeah, really? Well, I've always been able to grow this. This has been a work in progress.
Oh, okay. All right. All good.
Sue, hello. Travis, hello. Thank you for sharing, Bill. You get bonus points on tonight's show.
Yeah, bonus points. Rack them up.
Sue from Texas. What's up, Hiller? Maria. Hello, Jonathan from Ohio.
O-H.
Linda Raymond. Hello, Linda. Chris Hiller. Chris Lardy says hello.
You just got stuff everywhere.
I know, man. What's going on?
Man, people everywhere. That's awesome.
I like it.
You're all cleaned up, man. We got to go.
Christina coming on from the YouTube. Just want to give some quick shout-outs. And I think that's about it.
Yeah, nice to see that YouTube icon. I like that.
We don't get a lot of viewers. We get some viewers, but not too many people chat. What's up, B? Jonathan and Maria. Hello, Maria. I hope to see
chilly,
you too.
Yes. A little chilly everywhere.
All right, guys, we got a good show lined up tonight. I don't know if some of you may have already had it, and say if you do, but the unofficial Disney Parks cookbook. This is a wonderful book, and it's a hard copy book. Every place I shared it, I shared the link. Also, if maybe Morgan or Ed is in the comments, they can probably share the Amazon link to the book in case anybody wants to purchase it. But it's a fantastic book, and we're lucky enough to have the author, Ashley, with us. So I'm going to bring her in. Hello, Ashley.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
I also have to give a huge shout out to the other Ashley, Dehoff, at Chaos Kansas City, who just started her own podcast as a friend of ours. We met her. She was did the college program in Disney, and I met her there at Trader Sam's years ago, and she's followed the show, and I had seen the book, but her having you on made me think, well, now I need to get her on. So I listened to her episode and I messaged you while I was listening to it and said, let me Ashley Kraft and see if we can get her on as well.
Yep, we're both Kansas City girls. So.
And now you're a Kansas City girl. I saw she actually made you some Kansas City shirts and brought them over to you. So that's exciting.
Yeah, Super Bowl this Sunday. So go Chiefs.
I was about to say, you picked a pretty darn good time to move to Kansas City.
Well, my parents have lived here for 15 years. So
have they? Okay.
I've been a KC fan a long time.
Fantastic. That's awesome. So tell us your story. And I know we know a little bit. We talked a little bit about that before, you know, before we came live, that you grew up in California. So, you know, one of the questions we like to ask all our guests is, because we're the Disney Nerds podcast, what makes you, Ashley Kraft, a Disney nerd? Where did that get ingrained in you?
I like to think of myself as like the Disney nerd. I mean, it's my whole persona. It's everything. And, but yeah, definitely started back as a child. I grew up in Anaheim Hills, California, which is like 15 minutes from Disneyland, really, really close. And I could even hear the fireworks from my bedroom at night. So it's like,
You got to stop right there. You're listening to the fireworks from Disneyland in your bedroom every night. Come on. That right there makes you a nerd, I think.
That's yeah, it was where the love sprouted, you know, like it was such a charmed childhood. And I still play back some of these moments in my mind, because I still remember one time that I was walking down the street to go to a friend's house. My mom pulled the van up next to me and said, "Hey, we're going to Disneyland. Do you want to come?" And I said, "Not today." And she said, "Okay, see ya." First of all, this was obviously the 90s for your kid to just walk down the street and your parents to drive away. But I went so often that it was like that casual. We just didn't have to go all the time because we went like every week. It was such a casual interaction to go there. And because of that, it just became second nature to me. It was just a home for me. So I memorized every ride spiel. I knew the layout by heart. I mean, Disneyland was my home while we lived in California. So that was definitely where the nerddom began.
I consider myself a huge Disney nerd, and I'm going to shock you here, but I've never been to Disneyland.
Ooh.
I know.
I tell him that all the time, actually.
I live in New Orleans, so, you know, it's an hour and a half plane ride from here to Orlando, and that was the first park I've been to. I'm a pass holder at Walt Disney World. I go there 4-5 times a year.
Yeah.
Actually, me and my wife planned on going this year to Disneyland, but obviously...
Bad year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I do want to go. So hopefully soon. Hopefully soon.
It has a very special place in my heart. I would currently consider myself a Disney World girl. I did 2 Disney college programs, and I currently go to Disney World a lot more than I go to Disneyland, but it always has that soft spot from my childhood.
And, you know, talking to Sam, and I think I'm the only one on the Disney Nerds podcast has not been to Disneyland, but talking to them, you know, they say, look, you can't go with the expectations of it being Disney World, but there is something magical about knowing that's where Walt walked and walking by the apartment and things like that, and getting to see some of the original attractions. So,
it's different.
I'm looking forward to it. Different experience. And
different.
Hearing your story though, and just conversations we've had over the years about Disneyland, it seems like that's a lot of people who go to Disneyland story. And we've said that before, that it's more of a locals park, not necessarily. I'm sure there's a lot of people that still go as a vacation destination, but it's more of a locals park than Walt Disney World, that is more of a vacation destination.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I'm very interested to see what they do with the annual passes for Californians, because it is such a hot topic there, because it is such a locals park. And I think they probably want to both draw that back by not having it just inundated by locals, but also giving the people what they want. So it's a tough dance that they're going to have to figure out to reinstate annual pass program in a way that makes everybody happy, which, you know, inevitably won't happen, but they're going to do the best they can.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to disenfranchise your base people, but then also, I get it. It's definitely a balancing act, and they certainly had to do something with it and not leave it the way it was. So I'm sure, look, I always give Disney the benefit of doubt on things like this, because over the past years, we've been doing this podcast for almost 8 years, and they haven't proved me wrong yet when I say, you know, and whether it be something like this or closing an attraction and replacing it with something else, you know, I always give them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to improve it and it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'll be great.
So I think we sold a couple of your books already here. So let me ask you.
I'm seeing that in the chat. It's very exciting.
Yeah. So here's the question I got for you, Ashley. It's Disney Parks' unofficial cookbook, which means it's not just Disneyland. It's not just Disney World. It's Disney Parks. But being a Disneyland girl or Disney World now, what was the inspiration to write the book? And what's the first recipe that you absolutely knew was going to be in that book?
Okay, great questions. So my inspiration was, I always wanted this book. I have been hoping for this book forever, and I've been waiting for this book for years. And then I kind of just had a light bulb go off that said, okay, you're going to write it. Like, nobody's writing it, so you're going to write it. There's other Disney cookbooks out there, but this one is different in that it's snacks and treats, and that hasn't existed. This hasn't been produced from Disney or otherwise in a, you know, hard book format like this. So it was something that I had wished to see on the shelf. So I wanted to create the product that I wanted to see. I wanted it to be the 100 most iconic snacks and treats out there. So wow. I did a lot of research on what everybody's favorite snacks and treats, what you have to have. So, I mean, the things I knew were going to be in there were Dole Whip. We're going to be pretzel. I mean, Mickey pretzels, churros. Like, those are the things that when people say Disney snacks, when you see the sweatshirts that say it and everything, you got those items. So I knew I had to have those. And then I rounded out the 100 with the things that people always are asking for, that people are Instagramming about, stuff like that.
Quick question. And I want to encourage everybody watching to throw up questions if you have a question specific to Ashley or her cookbook. This question actually comes from my wife. She wanted to know if this is your recipes or did you get these from Disney?
Great question. These are all my recipes. So the reason why this cookbook would never be made from Disney officially is that these recipes don't exist. Most of the snacks and treats that Disney sells are either mass produced in commercial kitchens and don't have ingredients or equipment that you have at home, or they're made from a third party that are then shipped to Disney and prepared on site. So both of those things are prohibitive to making a home cookbook in like small batch sizes. So Disney can't produce an official cookbook because anything they make won't be authentic. So what I did was that I took the flavor profiles and the vision of each item and tested it in my own kitchen so that you could make it in your home. So I did all the tinkering for you and tried to make it as close as possible. And there's been great feedback so far. So I think I did okay.
I've seen some Disney cookbooks, but usually they're from like the festivals, which I know because last year, not this past year, but in 2019 for our annual trip, we did the World Showcase Tour and we got to go into the commercial kitchen for food and wine and got to watch them preparing a lot of the dishes. So, that makes total sense that, you know, churros, Disney doesn't make churros.
Right.
They order that from someplace and they order a kajillion of them. So they don't,
Kajillion. I like that.
Million.
A lot of people have asked me because, especially during COVID, especially during the beginning, Disney did release a lot of official recipes, but they aren't. What Disney did was the same thing that I did for my book, is that they had someone try to create the recipes for home. So a classic example that I have for this is that the official Dole Whip recipe that they released has ice cream in it, and Dole Whip famously is dairy free. So it's not authentic. Dole Whip, the real Dole Whip sold at Disney parks is a powder. It's a, you know, chemical powder that is added to water and put in a commercial machine. That's not something that we can create at home. I'm not like making powders in the kitchen.
It is for Disney. It's not exclusive to Disney. There are yogurt shops and stuff like that that actually sell the Dole Whip.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's now sold to so many places. So I tried to make my recipe as close to Disney's as possible. Mine is dairy free. And, it's obviously not exact. It's not going to be the exact texture and the exact flavor, but I got it as dang close as I could possibly get while keeping the spirit of that, the dairy free and all that. So
I can't wait to try it.
Close enough that if you're at home and you don't have a Disney trip on the books, that if you can make it, it's going to make you feel at home and kind of ease your woes a little bit.
Right.
Sue Penson has a question. What is your favorite, your personal favorite recipe?
The one that I probably make the most is for Gaston's Tavern cinnamon rolls.
Hello. In front
of me here. So that is the one that I probably make the most because it's just so, so good. And my family is obsessed with it. So here's
the... You make
them
just as big? Are they... Yeah, it's as big as the plate. Yep, I got it.
So the way the recipe is spelled out is that... People send me messages all the time of the pictures of them making stuff, which I love, love, love. It's so great. But this is definitely a fan favorite recipe as well. And the recipe is written so that it actually only makes two gigantic rolls. It's a huge cinnamon roll recipe. And then you make these two massive rolls and then you kind of just cut the rest of the dough off and you can cook those. But a lot of people do their own thing with it and often make like six medium rolls or whatever. But I like to make the like big cake size rolls.
Cheeseburger egg rolls.
It's in there.
It's in there. Nice. Stan, there you go.
Another fan favorite. A lot of people have been air frying those, which is not in the book. People have just been putting them in their air fryers, and they've been looking really good. So I'm excited to try that.
Dan, use our Amazon link and order you a copy of the book. Darn it. Brandon Humble asks, were your internships at Walt Disney World in food services?
No. So my it's ish not in food services. My first internship was in attractions. I worked at Expedition Everest, and my second was in concierge. So that's why it's kind of a not in food services, but in food related, because as a concierge, I did a lot of recommendations, trip planning. So I got to really know what people wanted to eat and how to recommend it.
And Chris kind of followed up on that question too, but not specific to Disney. Do you have a culinary background at all?
I am just a home cook. Yep. Just a humble home cook.
That's even better. We love that.
Yeah.
I was just saying that was why I
felt like I was also the person to write it, because I wanted it to be super easy. I wanted it to be from a Disney nerd to the Disney nerds, whether you can cook or not. So hopefully everybody can
love that.
Enjoy it.
Was there anything that you tried the first time and you're like, darn it, I nailed it the first time?
Oh, like a lot of them, actually. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but like the recipes really are really easy. And so I think that they just taste really good and are very simple ingredients, but make a great product. I'm trying to think of like a specific example. A lot of things were like that. Just so yummy.
I'm going to follow that up with this question here from Happily Ever Collins. Says, hey, Ashley, my daughter and I are loving your book. What was the hardest recipe to get right?
So I have a couple. The most unexpected one was the pineapple spears from Germany and Epcot. The reason why is because they're dipped in chocolate and covered in caramel, and I had a really hard time getting the chocolate to adhere to the pineapple, so I had to try like a whole bunch of different methods. I tried to freeze the pineapple, I tried to like blot it down with a paper towel or like dry it out and all this kind of stuff, and it just wasn't working. And I said, I think I'm gonna cut it from the book because I don't want to put anything subpar in there. And my husband said, you better keep working on it, because that is one of the best recipes at Disney. That is the thing I always look forward to, is the pineapple spear. So you got to get it in there. You got to keep trying. So I kept trying.
He kept eating while you were trying. That's exactly.
I'm in there like, I don't know how to do this. He's just eating pineapple and chocolate and caramel. And then an obvious hard one was the blueberry cream cheese mousse from Pandora. It has like five elements, so it's a lot going on. So it was just like, took a full day to work on and just pieced out each element one by one.
What was the answer for the pineapple?
I just blotted it down and just got the chocolate to the right temperature. I don't know, I must have just been like confused about it.
I'm not 100%. Is the Ohana bread pudding in the book?
Sorry, this book is parks only, no resorts.
Oh, so there you go.
Did you figure out the popcorn secret? What are they doing?
Popcorn secret is coconut oil. We talked about this.
Is that what it is?
I do have a popcorn recipe. It does use coconut oil, and it also uses Flavacol. Do you know about Flavacol?
No, tell me about Flavacol.
So Flavacol is an additive that you can get from Amazon. It comes in like a big carton, and you just use like a tiny bit per batch of popcorn, so it lasts forever. So it's worth the investment, but it really just adds that incredible Disney flavor to the popcorn.
All right, I'm trying that.
I don't know if Disney uses that or not. I have heard some people say that, but not necessarily.
It is
an incredible flavor. Every time I make it, people stop in their tracks and just, what is this? This is the real deal. And so, worth a go.
I was going to bring this up later, but Gerald wants to talk about it now. So Gerald said he bought a copy of this book, but he said you need one for Disney cocktails. Gerald, I got good news for you. I got good news for you, buddy.
Gerald.
So you have one already. It's available for pre-order. Is that correct?
That's right. So I have written a second book. It's kind of a companion to this one. It's called The Unofficial Disney Parks Drink Recipe Book, which is kind of a mouthful, but whatever. And it is 130 beverage recipes from the Disney Parks, Resorts, and Entertainment Districts.
All right. I was going to say 130 from just the parks. I don't think so, but resorts.
Yeah, a lot came from the resorts and entertainment districts. And just to make clear, though, it is not just cocktails. Cocktails is one of the six chapters in the book. So unlike the unofficial Disney Parks cookbook that is broken down by park, this book is broken down by drink type. So the first chapter is slushes and fruit drinks. And then I'm trying to remember everything. The first one was, I'm like drawing a blank, fruit drinks. And then the second chapter is slushes. Third is hot drinks like coffee, teas, hot chocolates. Then mocktails, cocktails, and dessert drinks like milkshakes and floats. So it's got the whole gamut of everything you can drink.
So I'm assuming, okay, so that book you went outside the parks, I'm assuming because limited availability to those things in the parks. And the cookbook, I'm assuming you kept in the parks because there's just so many darn things. So you had to cap it somewhere. Is there plans maybe for a cookbook part two that covers resorts?
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. So if you all could just write to my publisher and tell them you want me to write that book, then I'm available.
Bill's got a good question. Any recipes, you talked about the pineapples, that you almost threw it out, but were there any that you did throw out that you couldn't get it down to where you wanted it to be? So you said, I'm just going to move on and do something else.
Save it for chapter two.
I don't know. I can't specifically remember. I did tinker a lot with the table of contents before I recipe tested. Like there was a lot of different drafts of different ideas for the food, but I'm not sure there were any that I gave up on. I can't think of any off the top of my head anyway. But there's a lot. There's, like you said, there's so many that I wanted to include. I think when I originally said, oh, it's 100 recipes, especially non-Disney people thought, oh, how could you possibly have come up with 100 recipes? And it's like, Disney releases 100 new food items a week. Like, you could be writing cookbooks until you die. Like, Disney is always refreshing their menu items. Like, you can't, it's constant. So I would love to write more books and add more fan favorites.
Guys watching, that's the link there to the Disney Nerds podcast affiliate link, Amazon affiliate link to the book. So if you could use our link to order it, it's going to help Ashley out, obviously, because it's her book. But if you use our affiliate link, it also helps us out a little bit as well. Stan Solo says, I'd have to air fry the cheeseburger air rolls next time. What a great idea.
It is a great idea.
Morgan, who's always sometimes on the show, but always helps us out in the back end of the Disney Nerds podcast with producing. She saw the troll horns in the book, and she loves getting those in Norway. I don't know what troll horns are. What are troll horns?
It's basically like a pastry, like cornucopia, a
ladylock, really big one.
And then it has flavored cream inside of it. So.
Nice. School bread?
It's good.
School bread, yes.
Nice. Tina, school bread's in there. Order the book. Use our link.
you have to buy it, Tina. Sorry.
Megan. Order the book. Yeah. Chris wants to know what was harder, making the recipes or getting published?
That's a great question. Getting published is extremely hard. I do not take it lightly, joking around me saying, oh, I wanted to write it, and then I did. Like, I really do have a Cinderella story in the fact that that happened, but it's so hard getting traditionally published.
I think Sam's talking about the stuff you were talking about that you used on.
Oh yeah, the flavor call. The flavor call. That's what Stan's talking about.
Basically, like at an MSG.
But not.
Probably is. It's just some super high sodium something.
I mean, kind of what MSG, like most processed, like most foods like that, they just toss it.
Yeah.
Who knows why? Maybe. My wife already probably has pre-ordered the cocktail book.
I really recommend it. So the unofficial Disney Parks cookbook sold out on its first day. So if you want to reserve a copy, I would definitely, it's not coming out till October. So I know you're probably like, oh, I don't want to order it right now because that's so far from now. But if you think you're going to want it in the fall, put in that pre-order because it might sell out again.
Mike, we will definitely have Ashley back on when the drink book comes out.
Maybe we can pick one and try to make it.
Oh, that'd be great. Do a tutorial. We could have Ashley do a tutorial. Like,
you have to tell us ahead of time what ingredients we need. Keep it simple, and that could be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
In Epcot for food and wine, we did the mixology seminar. Remember that, Sam?
Yeah, absolutely. We could
actually do like a live mixology seminar here with
us. We had Chef Todd on a while back, if you remember, and we made some festival food, but that could be interesting, Ashley. We'll put that on the list for later. Make it simple, a couple of ingredients, and then we can watch you make it. We'll all make it at the same time.
Everything in the drinks book is super simple.
Nice. Crystal wants to know who has a better food selection, Disneyland or Walt Disney World.
Wow.
Great. I've never been to Walt Disneyland, but just because of the scope, I would have to assume Walt Disney World has a better food selection.
Now, I'm going on Main Street and Disneyland for Walt's Chicken any day over anything at Disney World.
Really?
Absolutely.
I think Disneyland has a few like major standouts. For me, the Bengal barbecue is a really big standout. Absolutely.
Adventureland, great.
So it's tough, like if you're talking about individual places, but overall, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Disney World just has way too much volume that you're going to have everything you could ever wish for.
Epcot, right? So you got all the countries that have.
Yeah.
I mean, restaurant wise, Epcot has. It's so hard to decide where to eat in Epcot because they have so many good places to eat in Epcot.
Not enough meals in a day.
Right. Exactly. Bill wants to know if there were any like food items that you included that you personally kind of just didn't care for, but you know, it was a popular thing. So like some people may not like churros, but you would have to include that because
that's a good question. I think probably the, I can think of a couple. One is the the buffalo chicken tots from Magic Kingdom. I do not like buffalo sauce, and so that's just not my jam. I tasted it, but I had my husband like tell me if it was good or not because he likes buffalo sauce.
Are those in Casey's? Where are those? Those
are Casey's? No, those are from I think Storybook or Friar, one of
Friar's
those.
Friar's Milk or someplace.
Yeah, Fantasyland. And then also along a similar vein is the Mr. Kamal's fries from Animal Kingdom. I'm not into spicy food. I really loved the flavor though. I was surprised how much I liked the flavor, but it has sriracha in it. And so like for me, it was just a little hot, but I wrote in the notes in the book, like if you don't like it as hot, there's a couple substitutions you can make. So tried to make it friendly for everyone.
All right, Ashley, what are your must go to restaurants in Disney World and Disneyland?
Are we talking sit down or quick or?
Let's just sit. Well,
right there makes you a nerd, Ashley. Just the fact.
I know.
Let's do one. So your favorite table service and quick service in Walt Disney World, in the same for Disneyland.
Okay. So.
This is not easy.
No,
it's not easy at all.
But the reason it's not easy for me is because I've been asked before this question, and I've also been asked, like, if I have a tradition or if I do the same something that I do every time when I go. And the honest truth is that I actually try to do something different every time. So I really haven't repeated very many restaurants or locations because I try to get to everything. So I want to go to new places. Probably my favorite places. I love, for new places, Satouli Canteen in Pandora, the protein bowls are spectacular. It's everything in one. So many wonderful flavors. And then also just like the perfect pick-me-up for the afternoon. If you are just like, oh, I have a headache and I'm tired and it's this day is so long. If you have some of that, it's just, it's protein, it's noodles. They've got those, even the popping pearls, which I love. It's so good.
You know, and another great thing about that place is that I feel like it's also, those bowls are like another, they're also just, it's kind of like very satisfying, but also not heavy.
Exactly.
Right? You're not going to be feeling terrible. Like, you know, if you wanted to go there and then you're going to head over to Epcot and have some drinks, you're not going to feel like, oh God, I can't have drinks. You know, I can't do that right now because I feel terrible because I just ate. No, it's like very like satisfying, but you're going to walk out feeling okay.
And I'll add this one for my sister. It was the only place at Disney that we found a Mr. Pibb. So if you are a Dr. Pepper fan, Satouli's Canteen, go out of your way to get a Mr. Pibb from.
That's some good advice if you're looking for that. Yeah.
Every place else, only Coke products, no Dr. Pepper, but you can get that flavor there. I also love in Galaxy's Edge, Docking Bay 7. The first time I ate at Docking Bay 7, I wasn't a big fan. I didn't actually love the tip yip or the ribs or whatever they were. But the second time I went, I got the pot roast and the Andorian salad, and it was amazing. Just also very light, such rich flavors, and it just takes you, doesn't make you feel like you're in a theme park. It's like extremely elevated food. You get actual silverware, but it's still a quick service restaurant. So it's right. Moderate prices. You get to sit someplace air conditioned. So I definitely recommend those couple places. And then at Disneyland, like I said, Bengal Barbecue is very nostalgic to me. When my family went to Disneyland, we went, like I said, super often. But we were always kind of pinching pennies. Like we had there's six people in my family. There's four kids in my family. So we would usually get like a churro and everybody gets a bite of it. Like that's the kind of trips that we took if we didn't bring in our own sandwiches kind of thing. So
and it's not vacation, right? Because it's you're local. So it's not.
Not a vacation.
We're just taking a ride over to Disneyland. So you don't, if you can't, I mean, who can do that every time and go all out all the time?
Yeah, it's too expensive.
Yeah.
But for us, we went to the Bengal Barbecue very often because, again, I think it was like a big bang for your buck. You get this, a beef skewer, and everybody can have a piece of the beef on it, and that's a good little bite. So we used to go there. I lived there during the opening of Indiana Jones. So it was very special. That's right across the pathway. I know you don't know what it looks like, but it's right across the pathway. So very, very special there.
Skip past Tarzan's treehouse and you're right there.
That's right.
Stan Solo says you probably, by the way, if you didn't know, Stan Solo is actually like Han's second cousin on his Stan said you could probably do a book just on Epcot festivals. That's
true.
Probably true.
I would love to do that. That's I have all these ideas.
We've got two books we've added to the list. We've got the resort cookbook and we've got the festival cookbook.
Yeah.
Ricardo said he just ordered number two.
Yeah.
Egg rolls from Yak and Yeti?
Not egg rolls from Yak and Yeti. No. All right. If you're asking if it's in the book, no.
Well, I'm assuming that's what she's asking.
Do I like it? Yes.
I love
Yak and Yeti's a great one. Having worked in Asia has a special place in my heart.
And you know what's funny is people will tell you they love Yak and Yeti but hate Rainforest. And they're both
owned by Landry
restaurants. Yeah. Linda, the answer to that is yes. It's park recipes, so Disney parks, from Disneyland and Walt Disney World. Any offshore Disney park recipes?
Not this one. This is the six U.S. parks. So it goes. It actually goes in order of when they opened, which I thought was clever. So it starts with Disneyland and ends with
Animal Kingdom.
California Adventure.
California Adventure. There
you go. So yeah, and each of the chapters has a map that was drawn by an illustrator. So you can see here's Disneyland, and they all show where the recipes are. So it's really, really pretty.
And it's 100 snacks. Is that it's 100 snacks just for anybody that joins us?
100 snacks and treats. Yes.
Snacks and treats.
Mm-hmm. The food pictures in there are amazing too.
Yes. Nice. They were done by a professional photography firm. So really, really pretty. I dabble in food photography, but not like this. So
really, really beautiful. There you go, Gerald. Or pre-order the drink book expected after 2021.
Yeah, that's Yay. Exactly what you said. There you go.
It went live for pre-order yesterday, and it's already been number one most categories it's included in on Amazon. So amazing support already for it. Very exciting.
I saw that the cookbook is already a bestseller in the theme park and guides section of Amazon. So that's
it's gotten up to number 5 of all books on Amazon.
Wow. Nice.
It is a USA Today and Wall Street Journal bestseller.
Nice. Wow. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
I mean, that had to kind of blow your mind, huh?
Yeah. I'm such a nerd. If you can see on my wall, I literally framed the Wall Street Journal mention. Yeah. So
you should. Absolutely.
It's a big life accomplishment.
Sure it is. Absolutely.
That's amazing. Wow. Disneyland has the Monte Cristo, so bonus points there for Disneyland.
Yeah, that's damn good. It goes right there with Walt's chicken. And the corn dog, which we'll get back to corn dogs in a minute.
Hello, Lisa's mom. Thank you. We're glad you stopped by. Is the mango margarita from Epcot in the drinks book?
Not the mango. We've got avocado in there.
Oh, a lot of people avocado like margarita.
Yeah, so this is going to be sad news for you guys. I was kind of mentioning this. The drinks book only has 20 alcoholic recipes in it out of the 130. So that the reason for that is because I do not drink alcohol. So those 20 recipes were actually made by someone else. I did the introductions and all the background and all that kind of stuff, but there was somebody, a mixologist, who made those alcoholic recipes. And so we really had narrowed it down to like really tight on those recipes.
Well, if you ever need anybody to do research on those drinks, just contact me and Sam, and we'll do all the research.
Great.
Did you do any experimenting with green or blue milk back in Galaxy's Edge in the drink book?
Yeah, I've actually got both those recipes in the first book as well.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in both books.
Oh, nice. I was not aware. That's beautiful. Love it.
All right. My wife has a question. Do you prefer savory or sweet to cook?
That's a good question. I actually think I prefer eating savory, but probably cooking sweet. Like, I think I have a more like salty palate. But I love making treats. I have 3 kids. So if I make a treat, I know it's going to get eaten, and I know that my kids are going to say I'm the best. So that's always the goal, right?
That is the goal.
I sometimes get a sweet tooth and I like sweet things, but overall when I'm snacking, I prefer salty, sour, that type of stuff.
I'm a chip and fry eater kind of.
Yeah, me too. Salsa. Yep, absolutely. Morgan says, I think this is either Morgan or Ed. I think Morgan said the entire Disney Nerds podcast co-host will help with the drink taste and food taste. if you need a research team,
yeah, got to write all this down. We could be so much help.
We could be available for that. You were kind enough to, when we're talking about doing this, mention that we could. You'd like to give away a signed copy.
Whoa, wait, what?
Of the book. Nice. I'll be the first to say is that my copy isn't even signed. I'm going to have to go to Kansas City, apparently. Or we have Ashley come to the Disney Nerds podcast meetups, our annual meetups in November. I'll just bring my book with me and she can sign it there.
There we go. Now we're talking. You can bring both books with you. November.
At that point in time, that's right.
True. Very true. Sam, what do you think the best way to figure out?
I'm not sure.
This is the copy right here. So
that's it right there?
It right there.
The one you were thumbing through.
That I've been touching. It's got my name.
So what we'll do is we'll get everybody who's interested in the book to email Morgan, because I don't want all these emails. Morgan.
She's going, thanks, Jimmy.
Yes. Morgan at the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com. So if you send Morgan an email and in the subject line put Ashley Kraft, we'll enter you into the contest to win a signed copy.
M-O-R-G-A-N.
She'll post it. Yeah, it's M-O-R-G-A-N. Morgan at the Disney Nerds. That's plural. podcast.com. Morgan's the winner then. She posted it in the comments. So send Morgan an email. Morgan at the Disney Nerds podcast.com. And then we'll use, I'm going to call, once I get the total number, I'm going to message Ashley and let Ashley use her iPhone or Android to pick a number between 1 and 50, 75,
whatever we get.
Whatever we end up with. And that's how we'll pick. And then.
How soon do you have to do that before you got to put a time limit on it?
Yeah, let's do it before. We'll give it till Friday at 5.
All right, Friday 5 p.m. Mickey time.
Friday 5 p.m. Mickey time. Got to get the email. The subject has to say Ashley Kraft. I tell you, if it was me and I was entering this contest, I would still use the Disney Nerds podcast Amazon link, order a copy, and keep the signed copy, because you're going to want one copy that you're going to need on the table making the recipes. That you don't want to get all that stuff on your signed copy. That's something
you're going to want one in a box on your wall.
That's nice.
Everybody has one. Yeah.
Is that number one by any chance, Ashley, or is that just the first one you got, or what do you have hanging there?
No, that's just a copy. It's
just one of them.
Just one of them.
Got it.
I have quite a few.
I bet.
I've gotten down to like one though. So I did put one in the box literally so I wouldn't accidentally give it away, because I've gotten down to very low numbers.
So at what point do you think you'll be where you get? So how long has the book been out? This book here, how long has it been out?
It's only been out for 3 months. Came out beginning of November.
So have you been to the parks since the book came out?
I have not.
I'm wondering at what point you're going to start to get noticed. That's always fun.
Oh, never, never.
Oh, you're definitely, I promise you.
You're coming to these
podcasts, Linda Raymond's going to be in the park. Hello, Linda. You're going to say, oh, Ashley, I have my copy with me. Sign it.
My kids think that. My kids like don't understand anything. So they literally I was driving the car out of the library the other day and my son was like, that person in their car looked at you. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm pretty sure he knew you wrote that book.
That's cool. That's cool.
I get it, but he's seven. Okay, he doesn't.
I don't know if you'll get noticed coming out of the library.
Yeah.
But there's probably is a likelihood that you'll get noticed in Walt Disney World.
Well, I will be there. I will be there soon. I have a trip planned, so
that's good.
I'm gonna have to get you the information for our meetup in November.
That would be awesome.
Which is always a lot of fun. Even this past year, which was not our normal meetups because of COVID, but we still had a really good time. But it's a blast. So we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you come join us for the meetups. Maybe we'll buy a bunch of books and give some away.
Yeah, I was wondering if I should call like a Kissimmee bookstore and see if they wanted me to come in, but I just feel weird about it. I don't know. I don't want to be weird.
I'm gonna call for you. I don't feel weird about it at all. Like I'll call. I'll just set it up for you. You don't like just as a friend. I'll be like, yeah, okay, you got to be here at this time. Just go sign some books.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think I should look it up
and see if there is any. I'd love to support local bookstores. That'd be cool.
I think it's great for, you know, the bookstore, and you know they like that type of publicity too. So it's especially in that area. I think you would have probably some people show up and come get their books on, or maybe even sell them.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I should do that. I should look it up.
All right, I want to ask about corn dogs because I've been waiting for that.
Okay.
You grew up in just outside of Disneyland. There is something about that red cart at the end of Main Street at Disneyland and the corn dog they have there that I can't duplicate no matter what. I don't know what it is. The world can't duplicate it.
Let me interject with one quick question. There's a food truck in Disney Springs.
Nope.
Not the same. Don't they supposedly sell
that? Say they do, but it's not the same. You can even see the difference. I've seen pictures of them side by side. There's something different about it. I will say that Corn Dog Castle over in DCA does a pretty good job because they're probably getting it from the same spot. How'd you do along the corn dog route? And are you happy with the way it came out?
I love corn dogs in the book. They are corn style. Basically, what I love about corn dogs is that they're so much easier to make at home than you think they're going to be. Like the batter comes together really fast. It's basically just like cornbread. And then you dip your hot dog in. Some people who might not be comfortable with deep frying might find it intimidating. But if you're like me and deep fry more often than you really should, it's not a big deal.
I'm from South Louisiana. We deep fry everything.
Everything.
Okay? Right. So.
I did have somebody who wrote, I think, a bad review of the book because they said they dipped it and then put it in their air fryer. You cannot put wet batter in the air fryer. So I'm like, that's not my fault. I didn't say to do that in the book. Like, you can't write a bad review for you not doing it. Anyway.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I digress. So basically, I like how it came out. If you're that particular about your corn dogs, I'm sure it won't be what you're hoping for.
There's something about those. It could just be standing on Main Street. You know the feeling.
Yes.
It's like the popcorn. It's the same question I asked before. You can't replicate standing on Main Street eating either one of those. Well, but you can post in it. Yeah.
Have you heard people say that the churros are different at Disneyland and Disney World, and then it came down to it, and somebody said that they aren't, that they're the exact same distributor? And they're prepared the same way. And it's like literally just people's perception that Disneyland should have better churros because of their location.
I'm not big in churros, but I absolutely would buy that anytime.
Yeah. it's totally like I could write an essay about that. That sounds fascinating. Like the psychological predilections of how you believe a churro should taste based on your geographical location.
Yeah. And the other senses and what's going on. Yep,
that's right. Again.
Beatrice said she's in the park. We know Beatrice very well. She's a friend of the show. She said she's going to be looking for you, and she's in the parks weekly.
Okay, Beatrice, we'll carry your books around, and if you see me.
She already said she's carrying her books there. And
oh, perfect. You can get a strap for it, like a popcorn thing, and just carry it on yourself. And for
my wife said we would love to for the meats, and then Morgan also said, please come to the meetup.
That sounds everybody's like a party. Fun. That sounds really fun.
There's growing demand for you at the Disney Nerd Podcast meetup. So
I guess I have to like write it off as a business expense. I don't know. That sounds Absolutely. Great.
Yes. So we're already getting some emails in to Morgan. Morgan, you'll thank me. B said yes, she would actually, like, if you go to the bookstore, she would go get a book and meet you in person.
I need to do that ASAP, so if the bookstore wants me, they can put out some...
Yeah, some stuff.
Some stuff for it, yeah. That'd be good.
Yep. Linda said she would come there, too.
Standing next to me.
Standing next... I think she was talking to B, but... Oh. All right, Sue just bought a book.
We're on fire for you there tonight.
Yay! Gonna bump up my rating.
I like
bump up my ranking. Oh, that's...
That could be Stan. It's very
that's
possible.
True. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sue.
All right.
Morgan's got a couple of emails coming
Morgan
in there.
Some emails rolling in. So that's good.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to hear how many people... Enter.
That's good.
Oh, God. I'm so glad I gave them Morgan's email and not mine.
Thank you, Morgan.
I'm going to owe Morgan a book and a drink.
Drinks book.
And a drinks book.
There you go.
All right. Maria said in her cart. All right. Ashley, anything to close us out?
Yeah, we're getting
to an hour. That's about how long we normally go.
Yeah. Just so awesome chatting with you guys. This has been super fun.
We're probably going to have you back on. And obviously we can reiterate some of the stuff about the books, but I wouldn't mind having you and the other Ashley, which would be a little confusing, on and just talk about you guys' experiences as cast members. Were you did college program as well?
I did two college programs.
Two college programs, and Ashley did a college program. So yeah. I think that would also be a fun show to have both of you guys on. And obviously we'll mention the books, but kind of a different show where we just talk about you guys' experiences with the Disney college program.
Yeah, that got a ton of cool stories from the college program.
That's awesome.
It's sad it doesn't exist anymore.
I like the fact that you worked at Expedition Everest. It's one of my favorite attractions.
That is pretty cool.
Very fun. So cool to see the behind the scenes.
I think
how long ago was it?
Long time now. That was in 2010.
2010. So the Yeti was already broken.
Yes. Already broken, but I have gotten up close and personal with him. So
that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Or her, actually.
Or her, yeah. Betty the Yeti, is that
Betty
right?
Betty the Yeti, yep.
There
Betty.
You go.
All right,
you know your expedition lore.
I like it. It's awesome. I'm so shocked Joe Rohde retired before he fixed the Yeti.
That's somebody else's problem.
It's too hard, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Ashley. We appreciate you joining. We'll see you soon. Morgan did the program in 2010, so y'all were there at the same time.
Yeah, they had Morgan on that show.
Where did she work?
Morgan was mousekeeping, if I remember right.
Okay.
She did mousekeeping. She did something else too, though. She'll respond in a second, but.
I did hotels in 2011 when I was in concierge. So
which hotels?
You know, maybe you need Morgan on that show too, there, Jimmy. When you do that,
yeah. I was at Old Key West and Saratoga Springs, which are sister resorts.
Saratoga Springs is my home resort for DVC.
Beautiful,
but I've yet to stay there.
I was going to say, have you ever stayed there? A lot of people are owners at Saratoga Springs.
But I've only owned DVC for about a year, so and with COVID we've been able to book places that you do normally can't get. Like me and my wife just went in January, we got to stay at Boardwalk. Mm-hmm. Which for DVC you can never, like, it's really really tough to get Boardwalk because of COVID. I hit Old Key West a few times. The to me the standard rooms at Old Key West is the best value in DVC.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the room
there's,
is just
there's Morgan to reply, Jimmy.
They're so, she did merchandise at Downtown Disney, a Team Mickey, and then Mousekeeping at Yacht Club.
Okay. At both in the same program?
I think she transitioned.
Okay.
I think she started as merchandise and then transitioned to Mousekeeping.
That's a great follow-up show. It is. It's awesome. Thank you for your time.
Ashley, thank you so much. We truly enjoyed chatting with you, and I'll get with you this weekend and shoot you a message and see how many emails we get.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And thanks all of you guys for joining us again tonight. That was awesome. That was fun, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
Very good time. Great show. Excited about the book. Need to start making some of these recipes.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys.
We'll figure it out.
Corn dog nuggets. It's always the place to start.
Corn dog nuggets?
Corn dog nuggets is in there.
Nice.
Thank you guys for joining. We'll see you next Tuesday. Have a great night. Quaharini.
Kongaloosh.
Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the Lord.